Yeah.
Uh-huh. All
right, then.
I just noticed in my notes I made a typographical error. That's embarrassing. But it's even more embarrassing that I just admitted it to our adoring public.
Yeah.
I am the fool. I am Boo Boo the Fool.
And I'm your co-host, Jennifer Uncle.
Oh, I haven't even done the intro yet, Jen. We're doing the pre-bit banter.
Aren't we always doing the pre-bit banter?
Yeah, though? We kind of are.
Who said that wasn't a banter?
What?
Who says that wasn't a banter?
Okay, maybe it wasn't.
We're always doing banter.
Always.
Welcome to Ultimate Despair Reprise, where we go through the Danganronpa series one banter at a time.
Just let me do the intro.
No. I refuse.
You refuse to let
you me. Will no, you will never do the intro.
You mean the intro that goes a little something like this? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ultimate Despair Reprise, a Danganronpa recap cop. God damn it. I'm trying that again.
Got our ass.
Hello, everyone. And welcome to Ultimate Despair Reprise, a Danganronpa recap podcast going through the entire Danganronpa series, one murder at a time. I'm your ultimate host, Kyrie.
Want to give that another pass, Kyrie?
No, fuck it. We're moving on.
I'm the ultimate fangirl, Jennifer.
And I'm the reserve student that they just bring around for fun and trouble anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Jackie.
Yep. And today we played Chapter 5 of Super Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair, the Daily Life section, and woof.
Yeah, this one kind of sucked cock from the back. Just straight up god awful in pretty much every conceivable way.
There is some
worst chapter by far.
Like,
listen, it takes a lot, but let me tell you, it certainly did not do itself any favors by bringing Shipman back and not and truly just not letting him stay dead.
Bringing him back might be a bit of a stretch. Like, they basically,
they brought him back as a vibrator joke.
They basically gave him a few catchphrases. He's not really...
Yeah. All the worst parts of Nekomaru in a small and convenient package for you to suffer through for the rest of this fucking game. He died twice! What the fuck else do we gotta do to this guy to stop hearing these shit jokes? I'm sick of them.
Fucking Kazuma.
I'm only half playing this up for the bit. This sucks. This is just god awful.
Yeah, Kazuichi built a mini Maru from the parts from the previous chapter as a, I don't know what his line of thinking was, because he's always trying to impress Sonya, and it's like Sonya had no attachment to Nekomaru. It's like the only person it's going to impress is Akane.
It's also kind of macabre because you essentially just built like this little doll of him out of his own corpse.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, like, Kazuichi should be tried at the Hague for this. Like, awful, contemptible horseshit.
It is
terrible.
Yeah, it is right after everyone took offense in Chapter 4 when Nagato's like, hey, elevator's broken. Why don't you just use Nekomaru's parts? It's not like he's using them anymore.
Right.
Yeah, so it's also hypocritical. Because, like, just bad. Just bad sequence. Not good. Don't like it. Wasn't funny. Didn't laugh.
He gets dedicated voice lines, too. Like,
yeah. Yeah, just bad.
Yeah.
During
that scene, we do get, like, so they, Hajime finally, like, brings up that he's a reserve course student, and everyone's just like, ah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that literally just does not matter at all to anybody. It's kind of, it like, how would I put this? Good in the context of, like, the members of the cast are close enough where, like, you know, that doesn't really get in the way of how he interacts with them, but also, like, rather than it being like, oh, who cares if you're special, Hajime, it's just like, oh, okay, that's a neat bit of information anyway, you know, like, it just gets kind of pushed under the rug, and why? It gets brought up, but it just never exists after that, so, which is a problem that kind of reoccurs for the through this chapter, is it kind of just brings up plot points, and then those plot points sublimate, and then another plot point gets brought in, and you know the pattern with these.
Well, I think the stuff with Hajime talking about his reserve course stuff and finding out that no one cares is kind of important, just because, like, he spent the entire second half of that, of the last chapter, terrified because Komaeda found out about this and was making such a big deal out of it, and was basically constantly talking to Hajime about how he's such a worthless piece of shit. So having basically feeding...
Having that be refuted is good, but it's not really a case of whether it's refuted or not. It's just that, like... it's refuted in such an offhand way where it feels less like it's something that, like, the entire cast is like, oh, who cares about that? And more that it's just like, who cares about that? The audience already knows. Let's keep going. Let's introduce this bomb plot. You know, like, it feels less like a thorough refutation of Komaeda's ideology with regards to, you know, being talented. And more just like the text dismissing it. Like, it just felt half-baked.
Mm.
Which, again, recurring trend for this chapter is half-baked plot points.
Jen, you had a thought you wanted to finish?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I feel like it is good just to be reminded again that Kazuichi does have some good qualities to him. Just being like, yeah, don't... is that really all you had to say? Don't scare me like that. Just in terms of, like, yeah, he doesn't even think about that kind of thing. You're all good in his book.
Until Kazuichi, it, like, does start suspecting Hajime.
He suspects everyone, though.
Yeah, because he's a sniveling little coward.
Yeah. Kazuichi does very little to endear himself to... well, me personally, I guess, but I can't imagine a viewer engaging with, like, any line that comes out of his mouth this chapter and going, I like this guy. He's kind of a shitheel.
Yeah, Kazuichi is, like, not to get too far ahead, but I remember in previous episodes I mentioned, like, kind of liking Kazuichi, but then the more time we spend with Kazuichi, the more of that opinion has downturned. And I completed his social rank, and it's not great.
Yeah.
But...
I...
Go ahead.
Dead dove, do not eat.
Mm-hmm.
Like... he's not a complex character. You kind of just get what's on the box with him. And I think that's the biggest problem with some of Danganronpa's characters, is that there are so, like, it feels like this game has a lot more flat characters even than Danganronpa 1. And that's fine. Like, not all characters need to be have a ton of depth to them, but it, like, there's nothing beyond there's nothing to Kazuichi beyond what he, like, presents himself as. There's really nothing to Akane beyond what she presents herself as, and so on and such forth for, like, at least a third of the cast, you know. And it's not it, like, earlier in the game it wasn't that big of a deal, I think, because the cast was still big enough where, like, the individual character moments you could afford to swing and miss. And you could just move on to the next one, and, like, you're still spending time with these characters, and you're still, and you're, like, you know, if one doesn't do it for you, the next one will. But, like, this is the second to last chapter. We are 5/6 of the way through this game, and we are stuck with easily two of the weakest characters in it so far. Komaeda, Fuyuhiko, Chiaki, and Sonya and Hajime, and they're not picking up the slack.
Yeah.
Wait, which one in that list was two of the weakest characters?
The two weakest characters.
The two weakest characters are Kazuichi and Akane.
Ah. Yeah. Like, they are definitely like, very, very one note. I remember during, like, later they occasionally have, like, some decent lines, but, like, that's the most you're getting from Kazuichi and Akane. Like, Akane had some moments in the previous chapter, but that was kind of, like, I think the last that we'll get of decent Akane moments.
Yeah. I'm genuinely surprised that, if, especially because they bring Nekomaru back as, like, the little doll, that, like, they killed Nekomaru off when they seem to like them a lot, when they seem to like him a lot more. Like, it feels like last chapter they could have just killed off Akane and had Nekomaru just continue being who he is.
A beep boop robot man.
Yeah, like the beep boop robot. Which, again, like, beep boop robot and his entire shit bit deal. Which they would have obviously played up. But, like, it feels like they were just planning on killing off Akane instead. Because she really has not had any development at all in her screen time. And what little screen time she gets. She just eats. And that's her deal. So they kill Nekomaru off last chapter, but she just falls right into his niche of being the dumb muscle. But Nekomaru actually has some characterization. He's developed at least a little bit. They've explored him.
Jackie, this chapter must have had some effect on you because you are pining.
I'm not really pining for Nekomaru. I am pining for the simpler days of me just being like, wow, I don't like Nekomaru. He's the worst part of this game. But he just died, so I'm never going to have to deal with him again. Like, for about a couple days between when I finished the last part and when I started this part, I was so excited to play Danganronpa 2 without Nekomaru that I had forgotten I lived in a world where Danganronpa 2 had not shown me its depth. Where Danganronpa 2 was still like, here's the Joker, baby. And, like, everything that entails. I was just caught up in the shitman died. He's gone.
You were riding that high for, like, a week.
I was riding that high. And then this chapter just rolled up on me and beat the shit out of me. Bashed the fuck out of my knees in the back of an Escalade. Just terrible.
Yeah, I guess the thing for me is that I really like Nakito. I haven't really made any bones about... I've been very clear that I really like this character. So, like, this whole chapter where he's just... going sicko mode and trying all sorts of weird stuff is like, oh, hell yeah, things are popping off now.
See, that's the thing, is that, like, I was kind of anticipating and hoping for him to go sicko mode, but this chapter really doesn't feel like him going sicko mode so much as it feels like plot devices happening and Komaeda is the vector for them. Like, it feels less like Komaeda's finally sick of everybody and is like, you know, enacting his master plan, and more like, okay, we need a new motive for people to kill each other, or for a murder, so we're just gonna have Komaeda, like, do all this. It doesn't feel paced well, or really, it doesn't feel like a naturalistic move for his character to act kind of this unsubtly and just going, oh, I planted a big bomb to find the imposter. If it go, it'll go off and we'll all die. And then getting murdered in the back of a warehouse. I'm sure that the Deadly Life will expound upon this idea and maybe offer some clarification. But as it stands, this was a terrible chapter to experience it with.
I think. Much like I said last episode, conceptually it works. Conceptually of, like, Nagito just putting all his cards on the table and making big blatant moves can be interesting because he has been more I wouldn't say subtle in the past, but his machinations has been, you know,
he's played him closer to his chest.
Yes. And now it's like he's going, you know, he is absolutely going like, oh, I've planted a bomb. I will say, I think that I think for as weak as this daily life is, the deadly life does pick up a lot of slack. Because I remember really enjoying the deadly life and what they set up.
I'm hoping then. But yeah, that seems to be a recurring theme with Danganronpa the series and Danganronpa 2 more so, where like the core concept of a lot of this stuff kind of rips, but like when they put it into action, the actual text is insanely weak. In a lot of things, it just doesn't do justice to the high concept.
Right.
Like this chapter dragged, but its core concept of like, okay, here are a bunch of bombs. You have to figure out who the imposter is, or they will go off, should lend itself to some pretty snappy pacing, and instead it didn't.
Yeah, you could have really surprised the player by making this chapter shorter than usual. I think that when Nagito said, like, oh, it'll go off in 2 days, I think it should have been, oh, it's going to go off tomorrow, and
I think 2 days is fine, because realistically it would take a while to get to the bombs and whatnot. Why did we have downtime, like hangout time, we got this chapter, knowing full well this island is rigged to explode?
We didn't get free time when, as soon as Nagito reveals that there's a bomb, like, we don't get any free time events.
Yeah. It's all before that.
Shit. I didn't realize that. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like...
Still, I feel like giving us free time is kind of... I feel like maybe it would have been better for the pacing of the game if it didn't give us the free time for that. But speaking of free time, who did we hang out with?
So, I'll get mine out of the way, because I hung out with two. And I actually completed the social link for two characters. The second one was Kazuichi, which I thought, okay, maybe there's something here, but as you said, there's really nothing to his character. He talks about how he dyes his hair and wears contacts, and it was because he had an experience in high school or in middle school or something about being betrayed, and he's like, I want to distance myself from people because I don't like the feeling of being betrayed. And it's like, oh, he's still just kind of like a cowardly guy. And
yeah, he's cringe.
Yeah. And it's like, there's nothing really more to him. However, the free time event that I had with Fuyuhiko was really good. So the final link for Fuyuhiko's like arc is that he invites you to his cabin, and he pulls out a glass bottle full of purified water, because first he says, I can't drink sake. I faint at the sight of the stuff, which is really funny on its face, because, you know, he's supposed to be this hardcore Yakuza, but, like, he is revealing to you that is like, oh, no, the scent of sake at 300 feet makes me faint.
Yeah, his bit pretty... I think his bit works. I think they do milk it a little bit, but I think the general idea of Fuyuhiko being a mob boss who pretty consistently just acts like the civviest civvy to ever civvy. Mm-hmm. Like, he... Like... I'm reasonably sure during this chapter, the one line that I actually kind of laughed at was him essentially saying, you can't do that, it's illegal.
Right, he says, when Akane suggests that she's going to drive the truck full of bombs into the ocean, he goes, you don't have a license.
Which is great, because it's like, you literally bury people in cement and then throw them into the harbor, Fuyuhiko.
He literally...
That's what your organization does.
He literally says with his very angry face, listen up, underage drinking is not allowed under any circumstances. Which is really funny. And then it makes a turn for the sweet, where he basically says, I'm giving you half my life because I have realized ever since Pekko's death that I need to protect my life. And if I share half of it with you, I will be even more incentivized to protect it. And he offers you a position in his organization, which Hajime kind of turns down. He says, but at least, you know, you can be my Aniki.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Like, he says, fine, you could just be my bro, which, you know, would be the translation of Aniki is bro. But
yeah.
But he outright says in a very cute blushing face,
specifically that, like an elder brother, like it's a respectful term for an elder brother.
Mm-hmm. He says, like, you're my first friend. And there is this really just really good openness from his character that completes his arc in a really satisfying way. I guess, you know, my first playthrough, I didn't pay that much attention to Fuyuhiko, but on this playthrough, I have, and I've been very rewarded for that, because Fuyuhiko is such a good character.
Yeah. Also, if you talk to Fuyuhiko during the chapter, like, near the hotel, before shit starts going off, he's like, hey, so Sonia asked me to take off my clothes because she wanted to see my cool Yakuza tats, and I was very alarmed by that.
It's good.
Yeah.
Do you think his tattoos are those ones that just rub on and then wash off with water? Because they're definitely those.
Yeah.
He applies them very frequently.
Yes.
Either that or he doesn't bathe.
He's a stinky
little man.
Stinky little baby Yakuza man. But no, Fuyuhiko was like really good and really satisfying, and I like his inclusion in part of the main cast. Like, he's probably one of the strongest characters in the main cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still miss Pekko though.
Yeah, Pekko was really good.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I spent my free time with Sonia, and I'm not sure whether Jackie or Kirie ended up spending time with her to a specific point, so forgive me if what I'm saying...
I maxed her link.
Oh, okay, so you've already seen the whole thing where she's, like, talking about whether... Wait, Hajime, do you think that I'm cold? I basically have to act like this because I'm always the princess and it's always my full-time job, and,
yeah.
Something about seeing that stuff in the fifth chapter, like, when shit is about to go off around the military base and, like, there's so few people left, it hit home hard for me. Like, the way that she's still keeping this front up even with so few other people nearby, she just has to put on a brave face because that's all she knows how to do. And
I do like that noblesse oblige, you know, aspect of her character where she has to be, like, the very straight-faced, practical leader in the face of things. I wish she got to fulfill that role more often, but again, I feel like everybody but Hajime is better suited to being a protagonist than Hajime. Which is kind of funny, knowing that he is not a talented student and instead is just kind of some chump. You know, I guess that may be intentional, but it is almost a little frustrating when, you know, I maxed out her social link as well. And Sonia, like, at the end of her side story, she that facade breaks down, and she just kind of Hajime just kind of, like, is there for her during it. She undergoes an emotional crisis, and Hajime is there for her during it. And that worked particularly well this late in the game, but also, like, you know,
it's unfortunate that it's relegated to side content that you might not see.
Yeah. Yeah, it is unfortunate that, like, you know, all of this could have easily been missed, because I spent time with her because I wanted to spend time with Sonia. I was like, oh, you know, who do we have left that's compelling? And I saw that my list was, like, Akane, Fuyuhiko, Sonia, and, you know, a few, and everybody else. And I'm like, I'm not spending time with Akane.
Yeah.
So she was, like, one of the last realized, she really only gets that realization of her character in side story, which is a shame, because they choose to fill the main story with shit jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they do that. It's a completely inexplicable character decision, or writing decision, just in a general sense, because it is also has to do with the pacing of the text.
Mm-hmm.
But there is these characters have depth to them and are interesting in ways. And all of those moments are set aside for when, for those two moments at the start of each chapter when you get to, like, interact with them.
I think, you know, this has actually reminded me a little bit of when I played Danganronpa V3, like, which we're not going to get to for a little bit because we have an anime to watch. But Danganronpa V3, I think, realized that there is a, like, it's a huge weakness to put so much character work on the side, so they do more to explore the characters in more interesting ways, like in the main text in Danganronpa V3. I remember that very vividly.
Yeah, though I will have to give a warning, it does make the game even longer. So if this chapter was pretty long for you, Jackie, the later chapters,
yeah, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking, I don't know if I could stand. I think if somebody said, oh, I have an idea for a game, it's Danganronpa, but even longer, I would die. This game is so fucking long. Danganronpa is a game that does not know when to shut up. It heard brevity is wit, and then it closed, and it put its fingers in its ears and went, la la la, I am not listening.
Well, we'll get there.
It was just sitting down and just thinking to itself, brevity is the soul of wit? Yeah, how about you go fuck yourself?
Dang it,
Shakespeare, choke on my cock and balls. Brevity is the soul of wit, but I'm a stupid motherfucker.
Danganronpa is the Buki Miyota video games. Just like, I don't care what anyone else thinks, I'm just gonna go loud and brash.
Well, that's a comparison.
Danganronpa. I think that is not a very fair. What do you have against Ibuki Miyota to compare her to the game? What the hell?
It was a compliment.
Danganronpa is the Nekomaru of video games. Really fucking loud and never and won't fucking die. I'm beating this game with a shovel and it just keeps rising from its grave.
Oh.
The only reason I'm still on this podcast is I was cursed by a wizard.
Danganronpa wizard curses. I guess that's the title.
That's what I get for not licensing my Bog Witch. That's a fucking Despaircast deep cut. If you remember that bit, points to you. That was like 2 years ago, bare minimum.
Yeah. Oh boy. Speaking of, I was gonna say speaking of bog witches, but I was about to bring up in my notes I have Megumi Ogata's performance. But Megumi Ogata isn't a bog witch; she's a very talented voice actress, and
she could be a bog witch. I mean, we've never met her.
That is true. That is true. What if this is crazy? But if does she speak enough English for an interview? I don't know. I don't know.
Danganronpa.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Ultimate Despair Reprise. Let's do the shout-outs, shall we? This is a show on the Scanline Media Network. Head on over to scanlinemedia.com for more great podcasts. We have shows like Bottle Crow Reborn, Mechanisa and G, and one of our newest programs, a monthly Hitman podcast called Bald Gun Guy. These shows are free to listen to. And hey, if you would like to support us, head on over to patreon.com/scanlinemedia, where we host exclusive podcasts like Oops All Anime. There are over 175 episodes of great anime podcasts to listen to. In addition, you get shows like Oops All Manga and our movie-focused podcast, Iris and Audio. Lots of great stuff to listen to for only $1 a month. And hey, if you support us at $4 or more, you get access to actual play podcasts like Star Sun's Distance, a sci-fi mecha drama, and The Ghosts of Parliament, a supernatural thriller. Again, you can check all this stuff out at patreon.com/scanlinemedia or on scanlinemedia.com. Thanks, as always, to Vetrom for the use of the music in the intro. Head on over to youtube.com/VetromProjects, that's V-E-T-R-O-M Projects, all one word, for more great remixes. They've done music from Danganronpa, but also tunes from Fire Emblem, Splatoon, and Pokemon. Check out their remixes. They're fantastic. Again, that's youtube.com/VetromProjects for more great remixes. Lastly, I always say this, but I mean it every time. Thank you for listening. It is a joy recording and editing this podcast, and I'm glad it reaches your eardrums. Thank you for being a fan and tuning in. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at UDespairCast, and if you want to write in, send us an email at despaircast@gmail.com. We're close to the end of Danganronpa 2. That's exciting. So, next time's homework is to play the investigation and trial of Chapter 5 of Super Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair. And hey, that's it from me. Talk to you soon.
I did really like how their plan is like, okay, we're going to tie up Nagato. We're going to keep talking loudly to people. How are we going to tie up Nagato? And he just shows up and he's like, hey.
So I heard you guys were going to tie me up.
Yeah. So I had something I would talk about them anyway. And the bit where
I like that they picked the absolute worst people. Also, for this plot, like, the bait is Chiaki, and Chiaki is just definitely the least into it person in the entire team. You probably could have gotten better results with Hajime doing.
Oh, yeah, because even Komeido specifically seeks out Hajime to be like, hey, so you're just
Komeido just harasses Oh, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off here.
I was just gonna be like, hey, so yeah, you're just gonna bring me there, right? And I do love the bit where he's like, hey, yeah, remember that time when we used to be friends? Why don't we just rekindle that for a moment, and you just walk me into this trap over here?
Yeah. Komeda just seeks you out to harass you. Like, he has fun giving you a bad time, which could have been exploited, but Kazuichi was in charge of the plan, and let me tell you.
Kazuichi stayed up for 2 days to come up with this dumbass plan.
Yeah, it shows.
Komeida's expression as Akane is putting him in a headlock is so great. Just like, oh, this is real tiring, guys. You could have, couldn't you have done a little bit better than this?
The CG just kind of looked like every Danganronpa CG is the thing. Which is to say, fucking bizarre. They, is it just me, or are all the CGs in this game, like, very... I can't put my finger on it.
Well,
I can't put my finger on it. But there's something that about all these CGs in it that make me think that they were, like, not made haphazardly. Like obviously they're all fully rendered, and I think the Danganronpa house style works a lot. But, like, the blocking in them looks very haphazard. Like, it looks like they just kind of sat down and were like, where do these characters go? Fuck it. I don't care.
I was going to
put them on there.
I was going to say, it kind of shows that, so for some of these CGs, it shows that this game was originally a PSP game. Like, Danganronpa 2 came out in Japan as a PSP game. And some of the faces and expressions do not scale well up to, like, 1080 resolutions, which is the resolution that you play, like, can play on the PC. Like, we're all playing on the PC version, and
yeah,
I'm
playing on 480p though.
Oh, okay.
I got a little window, just an itty bitty window, just snack size window for when you're on the go. Pop that window in your mouth, no problem.
Munch.
You'd be like, how many bites is this window? Like, one, two, maybe, tops.
Yes.
Got a small mouth?
Yeah.
2 bites. Yeah. Big mouth. That's like half a bite right there. You could fit in 2 of those.
Yeah, you
get 2 windows. Get Danganronpa 1 and 2 in your mouth.
Uh-huh. You know what? You know what? Just sometimes, like, you just put it in your, you know, glove box in your car and just have a little snack. Don't keep snacks in your glove box. You forget about them, and then ants happen.
Jeez.
Kiri, are you saying this from experience?
No.
Also, congrats to Kiri, by the way. Her car hit 69 420 miles recently.
Yeah.
And she caught it on film.
What?
I'm going to coerce her into putting it on the official Danganronpa podcast, Despaircast channel. Or alternatively, if we can get it onto the official Danganronpa Twitter account, we'll do that as well.
It's completely unrelated. Just post it out. Yeah, I hit.
Post it out. No context.
Hey, Spike,
check the mileage, gang.
Hey, at Spike Chudsoff to be like, hey, check it out.
So,
it's not the dumbest thing we've done before.
The whole bomb scenario is really funny, like, when you actually get to see what the bomb is, because it's, like, several, like, hundreds of
We love the wacky, silly fireworks display.
Yeah.
Which look like, in the PC version, as I mentioned, looks like little squares popping off.
It does. It does not look very good, which I think is if the setup was better, the payoff would be fantastic, because I thought it was legitimately endearing that now that I've had some time to like mull it over, I think that it is legitimately endearing that they go in and they're panicking over the bomb exploding, and then they just get like. Confetti.
A happy fun time, like.
Like I feel like it would not have been out of place if the bombs on the truck also, you know, did that party favor that you blow and it does the noise that.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully you will be able to edit that into the podcast.
Oh great, just adding more work for me. Anyway, here it is, folks.
I love making Kiri do labor.
Yep.
I love making Kiri do labor. That's the number one thing I love to do. I wake up every morning and I'm like, what can I do to give Kiri more work today? I'm a rambunctious little shit, and I'm your responsibility, Kiri.
Great. I need to put on those like child weight leg weights on you.
I'm gonna be the strongest. I'm gonna be the Rock Lee of babies.
I do like how Chiaki.
I'm gonna kick the shit out of Baby Gaara. Let's go
at the playpen. Just clear out.
I get on top of the McDonald's play place and I drop my weights. And immediately, every child looks at me and I kick their asses.
You clear out the ball pit.
Let it be known, I'm a grown ass 25-year-old woman.
Anyway, Jed, you were trying to say something.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna be like, I like how Chiaki from the very beginning doesn't really treat the bomb threat as anything super serious. Like, she is very upset when her video games get destroyed. Like, the one cabinet that she kept playing gets blown the hell up by Kamehameha's bomb. But then, like, when they get to the bomb truck, she's just like, oh, this is stupid, and... basically just swipes her ID on the bomb diffuser, nothing happens, and she's like, eh, worth a shot.
Right, because Kazuichi is freaking out over everything. It's like, what if it's a real bomb? What if you swipe the wrong thing and it just blows everybody up? And that's, apologies. Should I say apologies to Kyle Herbert?
Why?
I don't know, because I'm making fun of the voice, but... Kazuichi's a bad character, so it's fine.
Yeah, fuck Kazuichi.
Yeah.
Kyle Herbert got saddled with a shit role.
Well, he gets the voice of Ryu. He's like set.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, this is a shit role, but he is the guy who voices Ryu, so like...
He's good.
What are you gonna do? Mm-hmm. This guy, like, every other role is a hobby.
Yeah.
Ryu is just in every video game now. I wouldn't be surprised if Danganronpa V4 has Ryu in it.
I mean, considering that the fucking Power Rangers fighting game just added Ryu.
It fucking rips.
It's pretty good. I love the design.
Yeah.
I don't have any interest in Battle for the Grid, but I do like that they added Ryu to it. I feel like it's a very funny character. I feel like Ryu is the funniest character addition to games that aren't, like, traditional fighters, where, like, it kind of makes sense to add him because, like, okay, he's an iconic fighting game character. But also, he has nothing to do with any of the characters in this cast. You might as well add the Kool-Aid Man. But...
is it funnier when they do that, or is it funnier when they add, Akuma to Tekken 7.
Well, Akuma in Tekken 7 was also very funny.
It was very funny, like, and they made it canon in Tekken's storyline that Akuma gets contracted by Kazumi.
See, that's the funniest shit in the world. He got contracted to kill Heihachi.
Yeah.
Which, that rips.
Yeah, she makes a pact with Demon to kill her husband. It's great. Girl boss.
Honestly, though, who can blame her? That's girl boss shit.
Yeah.
There's a reason I main her.
We're getting wildly off topic, but that's okay.
It's okay. This is what people listen to the podcast for. I think even funnier would be, I already said Ryu as a guest killer in Danganronpa, but that, like, I think it would be really funny for a trial where it's like, it looks like this person was kicked 4 times and then hit by a fireball. Who could have possibly done it? And you just see Ryu in the corner and he's like,
he's sweating.
I have no idea. Honestly, it could have been any of you.
Are you saying the next crossover hit, like, you know, versus, not versus game, but big crossover hit, Ryu being in Fortnite or whatever, is to make a Danganronpa game, but just nothing but guest characters?
I think Danganronpa game with nothing but with guest characters. I think also maybe a Hitman game with nothing but guest characters would be very good. Like the Super Smash Brothers of Hitman.
Yeah. It'd be really funny. Oh, God.
I just think also maybe a Tony Hawk Pro Skater with all guest characters, if only because I want to see Agent 47 just shred some rails.
Do a kickflip and shred a rail.
I don't think actual skaters use the term shred a rail. I kind of just said that because it sounded right, but in retrospect, doesn't sound right at all. I'm a phony. I don't skate. I once bought a pair of Vans and I was like, these aren't shoes for me. I'm a nerd. I'm gonna go sit in the basement and play Dungeons and Dragons.
Nagito's dead.
Oh shit, yeah, Nagito is dead.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing that happened this chapter, huh?
Yeah, it's and kind of a big deal.
Wacky shit.
And they make it abundantly clear, even more than all of the other deaths, that, oh yeah, he's super fucking dead.
Wait, actually, wait a moment. We did this with Nekomaru. Nekomaru was blown up by a rocket and then dropped from a great height, where we spent like a full chapter trying to establish, okay, yes, he is definitely dead, and this is how he died, and this is how the building works. I am like 50-50 on Komaeda actually being dead, and the other 50% is like, Komaeda just shows up next chapter and is like, oh, hey guys, I was out getting a smoothie. What happened here? Oh, that was my body double. He got murdered. He was the real imposter. Amogus.
That's SEO right there.
Yeah, that's SEO. But you should name this chapter Amogus and just... Yeah, there we go. Danganronpa was the first Amogus.
So, I was gonna ask you, Jackie.
Komaeda was the first one to be sus. If you're sus, you know who to thank.
Mm-hmm. So there's a bit where, like, they're coming across the scene initially. Like, they're going into the warehouse where a bunch of spooky chamber choir music is playing. Like, the most intimidating shit ever. And then suddenly a fire breaks out, and, like, they rush to get what they call fire grenades, which are basically...
Which did exist at some point in history. I did some research on this.
Okay.
Yeah, those were an actual thing that you would use to put out fires before fire extinguishers were a thing.
Yeah, I guess it just seemed like a weird touch because, like, this definitely isn't taking place in a time before fire extinguishers, and also, like,
Well, Sonya says that there were other things in there, so I think whoever the killer is, they just removed all the shit that, like, made sense to use. And we're just like, yeah, here's some bottles filled with piss. Go wild. Like, it was obviously not a fire retardant that was put in the bottles. So, like, I just led to believe that it was, like, acid or like toilet water or like Joker gas that was put in there. Not the gas you're used to.
Not
a different type of gas. Mm-hmm. A special gas.
Yeah.
Yes. Some the gray man just took all the bottles and pissed in them so that they'd be less effective.
The gray man obliterates his kidneys to own Komaeda.
Yeah.
Just utterly wrecks his junk. Going after that man. You gotta respect it, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, if it means getting Komaeda's ass, I'd go through 3 kidneys for it.
But, yeah, so...
I'd go through 3 adult knees.
Okay. Sure. Let's go with that. So... Yeah, Komaeda is stabbed through the stomach with this giant spear. It's a
He got his shit rocked.
Yeah, he did. He got his shit super rocked.
Komaeda got fucking owned.
Yep, there was the spear, there were all the slashes on his thighs.
They beat the fuck out of his knees, yeah.
Exploding.
I don't know why they did it. He was already I mean, you stabbed him in the like, did they do it before they stabbed him in the chest? Or I don't understand why you would just stab the shit out of his knees.
And then they stabbed him in the hand for good measure.
This shit seems fake. Komaeda's definitely gonna show up in the next chapter and be like, yeah, that was fake. That was not my actual body. You couldn't tell because of all the blood that I just do not have because I am a vampire. I'm a vampire robot.
Vampire made up.
I cum orange juice.
What?
Listen, the last guy cried Rubo's tea and Diet Dr. Peepus.
Oh, okay. Like, you know what? It took me a while, but I finally understood where the fuck you were going with that.
Yeah, like, Komaeda is definitely a robot now, and he definitely,
yeah,
like, he's definitely got a whole different juice array from Mechamaru that we're gonna have to memorize because it's gonna be integral to the final murder of the game.
Sidebar, did the whole thing, I'm trying to remember if, do you know anything about One Piece? It's just
Curie.
It's just
don't make me admit to knowing things about One Piece.
Well,
I haven't read much, but I have skimmed it. What do you need to know?
I just want to know is there's Frankie the robot who has soda like in his body, and I'm wondering if the tea and soda in Mechamaru is a reference to Frankie from One Piece, which is...
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Frankie was introduced in the mid-2000s, if I recall correctly, and Danganronpa 2 is from, like, the mid-2010s, early 2010s.
I think it was 2011. So yeah, Frankie would have been in the manga.
So it would be, it would be a reference that was simultaneously, like, well-established and also pretty topical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this chapter is full of other references too, like
Kazuichi's dialogue is nothing but pop lyrics. Like he
really?
Well, there's a couple of them. Like there's one in which he goes, "Why they have to go and make things so complicated?" Which is reference to Avril Lavigne. Then there's when Sonya admits to farting. He goes,
fantastic plot this episode.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a stupid thing, and it's a stupid joke, and it just leads to him saying, "Say it ain't so," which is a Weezer reference. And at one point, like,
every time somebody says, "Say it ain't so," I say, "That's a Weezer." I say, "Oh, like Weezer?" Oh, like anytime somebody says anything that can possibly be construed as a Weezer reference, I'm like, oh, like Weezer?
Like, what do you just
fucking try me one of these days. I'll be like, you'll be like, oh, you know.
So I have this cousin named Jimmy, and yeah, so
like in Weezer.
I didn't even get to the part where I wrestle with Jimmy.
That's gonna play us off instead of the regular one. It's just gonna be, it's just gonna be Say It Ain't So, but all the lyrics replaced by Wrestle with Jimmy. Here I go creating more work for Kiwi again.
Great.
So were there more pop references?
Those were the ones.
No, just those two.
There was one in a previous chapter where they make, it was in chapter two, where they make a Rick Astley reference.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, where he says, I'm Rick Astley.
Uh-huh.
I'm Rickrolling you right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that bit. Yeah. I thought it was a little weird and out of character because somebody had just been murdered, and there he is, Kazuichi, just like, oh, hey, guys, I'm Rick Astley now. Oh, shit, is that a body?
So I know Sonya's thing is just sometimes spouting weird nonsense, but what does she mean by, so this is the power of the Japanese Teru Teru Bozu?
I don't know. I didn't
so
look into
Teru
it.
So Teru Teru Bozu are, when it rains, if I recall correctly, because it's something I read about a while ago, but when it rains, you make these little paper, little cloth dolls, and you hang them from your, on your balcony or from your windowsill, and the idea is that, like, they make the weather more favorable, so you'll hang them up during the rainy season, I think, and they ward storms, and they, like, you know, and they give good rain, you know, as opposed to, like, shitty, like, awful storms, just, like, you know, light showers,
rain
and
that's,
stuff like that.
Rain that's good for harvests and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and stuff, yeah. It's a little, like, you know, folk tradition thing. I don't think it has any religious connotations.
Okay, yeah. I get it now, because they were talking earlier about how they really wanted it to rain.
It's cute, because you draw a little Heno Eno Omeji on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're neat.
Yeah, that sounds pretty neat. Like, I wasn't sure whether that was something she was just making up or not, because, like, one of her frequent gags is that she'll get a saying completely wrong, or get a particular item in someone else's culture completely wrong.
Like Beatrice Nest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not.
What is up with Beatrice and her nest?
I don't know. We'd have to play.
Fucking freak.
Here to announce a Human Echo podcast.
Jackie would leave, like, 5 hours in, because, like, each chapter is 20 hours long.
I feel like I'd enjoy Umineko a lot more if, like, I haven't played any of Ryukishi's games, but I mean, I don't know. I'd be down for an Umineko podcast. I'd probably be able to survive it, provided we don't do a chapter at a time.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing is there isn't really any good sort of time marker in it other than, like, the clock occasionally appearing, but
1 clock at a time.
1 clock at a time. Yep, that's how we do it. Welcome to Ultimate Human Echo Reprise. Where we just play the Human Echo fighting game.
Where we play Umineko, but, like, we don't talk about Umineko on the podcast. We're just it's just recordings of us while we're playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. What else should we bring up?
I don't know. There's not much to this chapter. We already mentioned.
This chapter had no drip.
I mean, we mentioned. Like, I'm just looking through my screenshots. Let's see.
Okay, actually, there is. I do have something to bring up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Danganronpa asks you to insert a guest killer. Who would you have as the guest killer for the next for this hypothetical Danganronpa game?
Ooh. Hmm. Let's see.
Top three. You could go top three if you want.
Top three. Who would I choose? Oh, there's so many.
I think Agent 47 may be the funniest.
Agent 47 would be the funniest.
Cause, like, grown ass man. Cause also, like, Can you imagine Agent 47 disguising himself as, like, an anime high schooler? And then killing somebody? And then knocking another anime high schooler out and taking his disguise?
That's pretty good.
I feel like it'd need to be someone who is traditionally, like, a protagonist sort of character. Like, someone who's like, oh yeah, hey, that guy.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's a good idea.
I think maybe this is just because it's been on my mind lately, but I've been watching Kamen Rider Drive. Shinosuke as a protagonist would be all right.
Shinosuke is already a good protagonist.
He's
I feel like a huge weak point in Danganronpa is its protagonists, who are just like milquetoast everyman. Shinosuke has so much going for him as a protagonist. Mm-hmm. That, like, he just rips. Like, he would show up in Danganronpa and he'd immediately be the coolest dude, and you wouldn't be like, wow, this guy's boring. You'd be like, wow, I can't believe I get to play as Shinosuke of Kamen Rider fame.
Right. Like, I think I think he would be a, like, he has his investigation skills, he is also very charming, he has his cool suits. Would he wear the suit during the trials?
Yes.
Instead of getting a mad sprite, he just turns into Kamen Rider. Also, now that we're saying protagonists, I feel like Agent 47 is way funnier now. Agent 47, but he can't kill people, and he has to solve these extremely amateur murders without getting mad. Like, can you imagine Agent 47 looking over, like, any of the murders in this game and just shaking his head and being like, well, the killer used a skewer that was hidden beneath the floorboards, which is, when you think about it, terrible place to hide it. Truly, you would want to hide it up, oh, in the chandelier, per se, or perhaps you would collapse the ceiling on, you know, just going off in ways that it could have been done better until the actual killer loses their fucking mind at it.
Yeah.
Or he just figures out the, like, he figures out the causes and, like, he figures out the mystery instantly because he's like, oh, this is amateur hour. I did this in the simulations as a joke.
I did this when I was 16 years old as a prank.
Yeah.
I have done this exact simulation and I killed the guy with a fish 30 seconds quicker than you.
It looks like this person was hit by a homing briefcase.
What about that? That happens all the time.
But yeah, in terms of killers, I would probably do something like Cat from Gravity Rush or Mega Man or something like that. Just something that
Mega Man kills you and he gets your ultimate skill. Ryu from Streets. Ryu from Streets. I brought him up earlier, but he'd be a very funny Danganronpa character.
Yeah, like in the daily life section, like for some reason other characters are bringing up Satsui no Hado and talking about its characteristics at length, and then by the deadly life, I wonder who the killer is.
Komaeda gets access to the Satsui no Hado.
Oh god. Okay, this just makes me think, like, another fantastic guest character for Danganronpa, Baki, from Baki the Grappler. Can you imagine getting, like, the Gray Man CG, but it's just some poor sap getting demon-backed?
Oh, boy.
Looks like the killer did not actually use any setup or weapons or deception at all. He just walked right up and turned this person into a fucking powder.
All right, that would be pretty good. I'll tell you what else is pretty good.
Yeah.
You can follow us at UDespairCast on twitter.com, where we're gonna post a lot of stupid jokes, I guess.
Yeah, this is a stupid joke podcast for stupid joke makers.
Yeah,
that's us. We make stupid jokes.
Yep. Email us, thespaircast@gmail.com. You can find me on the internet at Kyrie A. Page. Jen, where can people find you?
You can find me at JBU3 on twitter.com. Most of my stuff is on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. I also host a storytelling book club podcast, Novel Not New, a True End podcast. And next up, we're going to be playing through Suzerain, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Suzerain seems like
a lot. Suzerain is... That's the one where you... That's... Are we thinking of the same Suzerain? That's the one where, like, you play as, like, the Eastern European president?
Yep, that's the one.
Okay, yeah, I saw... Tyler was streaming it in the Discord a little while ago, and it looked like a fantastic time.
Yeah, it does some really interesting things.
Yeah, that's cool shit.
Yeah.
And you can find me, I don't remember if I did this bit before, but you can find me and all my treasure on the Grand Line!
God, do you know how much, okay, peek behind the curtain, do you know how much I have to, like, edit your audio to bring those levels down?
You love me for it, though.
Oh, God. Jackie, you just give me so much work to do.
I am pretty excited for the next chapter.
Yeah, next chapter is good. There's some fun stuff in it.
All right. Next chapter, we find out Komaeda's killer and we give them a medal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We give them $500 and a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe we'll figure out what that future code is or whatever.
Yeah,
they've already abandoned that plot point. Like, I do not have I do not have much faith that this will be meaningfully resolved. I feel like the code's gonna be hope. They're gonna put in hope, and it's gonna be like, oh yeah, it's hope, and then it's gonna be like, okay, here's the ending, and everybody's gonna be like, wow, okay, the Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair, was inside of us all along. It was the friends we made along the way.
Yep.
And then Shitman will come out from behind the curtain and be like, I was alive all along. I was just in the toilet taking a big fat shit.
Anyway, I've been Kyrie.
I've been
Jonathan. I've been Jackie.
Class I've been Jackie. Class dismissed.
Wrestle with Jimmy. 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 Wrestle with Jimmy. Wrestle with Jimmy. Wrestle with Jimmy. Wrestle with Jimmy.
Class dismissed.
Well, you know I'm gonna have to keep that in too.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if I'll keep it in.